10 minutes to 7. Now, what's the significance of the decision of Shell to stop Arctic oil and gas exploration off Alaska, beyond what it means for the company's own books? It's clearly an important strategic decision for Shell, but how does it fit into the commitments, for example, made by governments for an increase in the use of renewable energy sources? Dr. Jeremy Leggett chairs the Carbon Tracker Initiative. It measures carbon output, and broadly speaking, it says it's a group of leaders from across the energy landscape who believe that economic growth and climate action can be achieved together. Dr. Leggett, good morning.
Good morning.
Where do you see this decision fitting into the whole argument that you're involved in?
Well, the first thing to say is about the retreat from the Arctic, and that's in the face of impossible economics. You know, even if they had found oil, they would be producing it at a cost far above what they could sell it at. And this is not just a Shell problem. This is a problem of the oil and gas industry generally at the moment. Carbon Tracker has identified more than $1 trillion of investments intended by 2025 above an oil price of 95, where the break even is above an oil price of $80.
Well, indeed, and Simon was talking about this earlier. With a low oil price, it just doesn't. For example,
makes
in
no
the
sense.
North Sea,
they're wasting pensioners' money.
But what about you're arguing from what we might call broadly a green perspective? And what's the significance of this decision for you?
Well, you know, hopefully now Shell will join some of the other oil companies that are, you know, showing encouraging signs of going with the Paris agenda. So Total, for example, has invested hugely in solar. Statoil set up a renewable energy division last month. But what we fear is that actually they haven't changed their game plan. And the game plan is to have as much gas as they can in the mix, and as much oil as well. And, you know, they talk, for example, in their commission that they're setting up of a study to find out whether, you know, we can have 50% renewables in the electricity mix by 2050. Well, you know, that's completely inadequate. That would give us a world of 4 degrees Celsius, way above the danger ceiling of 2 degrees Celsius for global warming, a world in which, you know, we'd be finding it difficult to feed ourselves or have enough drinking water amid all the droughts and floods and wildfires and all the other horrors.
Well, of course, this is, you know, a controversial area, inevitably, but politically as well as anything
that's
else.
That's not controversial, Jim, what I just said. That's the best advice that governments are getting from all their scientific bodies, governmental and academic.
Yeah, the question of how we go about it, though. I mean, what my question to you, finally, is a fairly simple one. If this is so obvious, if that is so clearly what is going to happen, why should it be in the interest of a company like Shell not to accept it?
Well, it's bewildering. I mean, it's very difficult to explain. Presumably they love their kids as much as all the governments arguing hard for a target of 2 degrees Celsius at the all-important Paris Climate Summit in December. But, you know, as things stand, they're playing a tricky game. They're trying to defend 20th century technologies, 20th century business models that are ruinous for the planetary future.
Dr. Jeremy Leggett from the Carbon Tracker Initiative, thank you very much.